कृष्ण प्रसाय भूदले श्रीमती भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिनी नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशधारिणी श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम राम हरे 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 कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे टेक्स्ट 28 अव्यक्तादीनि भूतानि व्यक्तमध्यानि भारत अव्यक्तानि धनान्येव तत्र परिदेवनाम् अव्यक्तादीनि भूतानि व्यक्तमध्यानि भारत अव्यक्तनिधनान्येव तत्र परिदेवनाम् So, translation. All created beings are unmanifest in their beginning, manifest in their interim state, and unmanifest again when they are annihilated. So, what need is there for lamentation? So, Krishna has spoken to Arjuna in these two verses, verse 27 and 28, from the platform of a body, from a bodily level. Up to then, he has spoken from the spiritual platform, on the soul, platform of the soul. Now it has come to the platform of the body. And Krishna's logic is this, avyaktadini bhudhani. That means material body has sprung up from somewhere. It has no origin as such, in the sense that from avyaktam. Avyaktam means what it is unmanifested. From there it has manifested. In other words, material body came into existence at some point in time. And Vyakta Madhyani Bharata, it is visible to us at the time when we see it. Only then it is visible to us, isn't it? It's not there before. It didn't exist for us before. For us, our own body didn't exist before. It came into existence at some point in time. Vyakta Madhyani Bharata. Avyakta Nidhananyeva. At the end, it again goes away. Without asking us, it leaves us. It came to us, we didn't ask for it, it came. And it stayed for some time, and Krishna says at the end, it leaves us also in the same way. Without asking us, without consulting us, it leaves us at one point. Tatraga paridevana. If when it is like that, why you should worry about it too much? This is Krishna's logic. So he says to Arjuna, that in other words, that the... material body, you are giving undue importance, more than what it deserves. As spirit soul, from a spiritual point of view, material body has come and it has stayed for some time and it has left you. So, for a short period of time, in our eternal existence, for a short period of time, it has come and stayed with us and it's gone. But we give so much importance to the body, more than what it deserves. This is Krishna's point. Why should you give so much importance to one body which you have got for a very short period of time compared to your eternal existence? In relationship with our eternity, this material body has a very short period of life. So why give importance to this? That's Krishna's point. Avyaktadini bhudani vyaktamadhyani bharata avyakta nidhananeva tatraga paridevana. Tatraga paridevana. Is this why you lament about this? That's Krishna's point. So, to explain that, point, there is a story about this, that a very wealthy businessman, a very wealthy businessman who acquired a lot of wealth in his life, and eventually he has he was very attached to his body, because naturally when there is a lot of wealth, a lot of comforts in life, you feel very attachment to the body as well. It's very difficult to have any detachment from this body. So once he was sitting and he was getting messaged by two or three people who was messaging his body, he could afford all that. And he also had a body which was quite fat, but due to all the good food he ate and the comforts he lived and the luxurious way of life, which has given him a very, very fat body, as well as he used to engage people in massaging with oil and all kinds of things, what he used to do to maintain this body. So it was then that once he was getting massaged by a few people, and he had a big belly as well to show his material opulences, in other words. So it was then that a poor person comes there and asking for some food. He comes at the door, and he was starving, and plus he was experiencing all his bones were coming out, and he looked awful because of his starvation. And when he came here, this businessman, he looked at him and smiled, seeing his pathetic condition. He was not feeling any compassion for him. So, and then he started massaging his belly again, once again, his big belly, what he had. So at that time, he did not realize that there were other animals who were coming and looking at him, like the foxes, the dogs, and other things. They were thinking that when is this businessman going to leave his body? Because this body is meant for them as their food, isn't it? The body, ultimately, when you leave the body is meant for to be eaten by other animals or to be burned in some way or the other. So the animals were coming and looking at his body, and he was feeling, looking at other man's body. So each one of us are looking at each other in different ways. Everybody looks at each other in different ways. In our material life also, it is like that. That the employer is looking at the employees, that, that body will serve my job, what I need him to do. The family members are looking at the husband or the father, in whichever way they want him to serve them. So each one of us are looking at each other's body and thinking, what service can we get from that body? So Krishna says here that the bodily relationships are all like that, in that level. So never one thinks that material body is temporary. Never one thinks like that. Everyone thinks, what can we get from this body, from exploiting from that body? This is the way people think about it. So real happiness is that when our grip on this body gets loosened a little bit, and then there is an internal happiness that comes from that, when the attachment to the body goes away. It does not mean that we have to leave the body in starvation. But if that grip doesn't go away with the material body, we will not be able to move away from the body to the soul. Will not be able to move away from the body to the soul. I am not this body. In order to know that, one has to know the temporary nature of this body. This will get destroyed one day anyway. Not only that, we also have to know we cannot do anything about it. also, the happiness that you can get from this body is also very limited. These are all realizations from this body. So that's why in the Bhagavatam you will see that after the 24 spiritual masters were spoken, the 25th spiritual master is the body itself. I'm learning something from my own body. What is that? Hi hi me deham oham ತ್ಯಜಪವನಪುರಾದೀಶ್ವರ ಎಲ್ ಪ್ರೇಮಹೇದೋ ದೇಹೇ ಬಿತ್ತೆ ಕಳತ್ರಾದಿಷು ತುಲ್ಪದಂ ವಿಸ್ಮರಂದಿ ಸ್ವಯಂ ಮನ್ಯೇಷುನೋವಾ ಪರಮಿಹ ಮರದೋ ಸಾಂಪ್ರದಂ ಚಾಕ್ಷಿಕರ್ಣ ತ್ವಜಿಹ್ವಾಗ್ರೇ ವಿಘರ್ಷಂದಿ ಅವಿಷಮದೈನ ಕೋಪಿನ ತ್ವಲ್ಪದಾಬ್ಜೇ ದಟ್ ಹೀ ಹೀ ಮೇ ದೇಹಮೋಹಂ ದೇಹಮೋಹಂ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಅಟ್ಯಾಚ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ಟು ದ ಬಾಡಿ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ವೆರಿ ಡಿಫಿಕಲ್ಟ್ ಟು ಗಿವ್ ಇಟ್ ಅಪ್ ತ್ಯಜ ಪವನಪುರಾದೀಶ ಎಲ್ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಹೇದೋ ದೇಹೇ ವಿತ್ತೇ ಕಳತ್ರಾದಿಷು ದಟ್ ದೇಹಂ ಮಿಥಿಲ್ ಬಾಡಿ ವಿತ್ತಂ ದ ಮನಿ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಫ್ಯಾಮಿಲಿ ಕಳತ್ರಾದಿಷು ಕಳತ್ರಾದಿಷು ಮೀನ್ ವೈಫ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಚಿಲ್ಡ್ರನ್ ಆಲ್ ದೀಸ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಡನ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಒನ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಮೀ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದಟ್ ತ್ವಲ್ಪದಂ ವಿಸ್ಮರಂದಿ ದಟ್ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಫರ್ಗಾಟನ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಸ್ ಲೋಟಸ್ ಸ್ವೀಟ್ ದಟ್ಸ್ ಆಲ್ ದ ರಿಸಲ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಆಲ್ ದೀಸ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ವಿ ಡೋಂಟ್ ರೆಕಗ್ನೈಸ್ ದಟ್ ಪಾಯಿಂಟ್ ದಟ್ ಆಲ್ ಅವರ್ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ಬಾಡಿ ಅಟ್ಯಾಚ್ಮೆಂಟ್ ಇನ್ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ಬಾಡಿ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದಿ ಫ್ಯಾಮಿಲಿ ಲೈಫ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ವೆಲ್ತ್ ವಿ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಅಕ್ಯುಮುಲೇಟೆಡ್ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಕಾಸ್ಟ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಒನ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ ಟು ಅಸ್ ದೇಹೇ ವಿತ್ರೇ ಕಳತ್ರಾದಿಷು ಜ ತುಲ್ಪದಂ ವಿಸ್ಮರಂದಿ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ಬಾಡಿ ಸ್ವಯಂ ವನ್ಯೇಷು ನೋವಾ ದಟ್ ಇಟ್ ವಿಲ್ ಗೋ ಇನ್ ಟು ಫೈರ್ ಒನ್ ಡೇ ಅಲ್ಟಿಮೇಟ್ಲಿ ದಿ ಗೋಲ್ ಈಸ್ ದ ಫೈರ್ ಇಟ್ ಲೆಟ್ ಟರ್ನ್ ಅಪ್ ಇನ್ ಟು ಆಶಸ್ ಶುನೋವಾ ಪರಮಿಹ ಪರದಂ ದಟ್ ಅದರ್ವೈಸ್ ಇಫ್ ಇಟ್ ಡಸಂಟ್ ಗೋ ಟು ದ ಫೈರ್ ಇಟ್ ವಿಲ್ ಬಿ ಈಟನ್ ಅವೇ ಬೈ ದಿ ಡಾಗ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಎನಿ ಅದರ್ ಅನಿಮಲ್ಸ್ ದಟ್ಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ ವರ್ತ್ ಅಟ್ ದಿ ಎಂಡ್ ಪರಮಿಹ ಪರದೋ ಸಾ ಅಮ್ರದೋ ಚಾಕ್ಷೀಕರ್ಣ ತು ಜಿಹ್ವಾ ಗ್ರೇ ವಿಘರ್ಷಂದಿ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ವೈಲ್ ವಿ ಆರ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಬಾಡಿ ಆಲ್ ದ ಸೆನ್ಸಸ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ದಿ ಸೆನ್ಸಸ್ ಆಫ್ ನಾಲೆಜ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಶಬ್ದಂ ಸ್ಪರ್ಶಂ ರೂಪಂ ರಸಂ ಗಂಧಂ ದ ಫೈವ್ ಡಿಫ್ರೆಂಟ್ ಸೆನ್ಸ್ ಗ್ರಾಟಿಫಿಕೇಶನ್ ದಟ್ ಗೋಸ್ ಆನ್ ತು ಜಿಹ್ವಾ ಗ್ರೇ ವಿಘರ್ಷಂದಿ ದಟ್ ಕಂಟಿನ್ಯೂಸ್ಲಿ ಕಂಟ್ರೋಲ್ಸ್ ಅಸ್ ಸಪ್ರೆಸಸ್ ಆಲ್ ದ ಟೈಮ್ ಅವಶಮ ಅದೈದ ಕೋಪಿನ ತ್ವಲ್ಪದಾಬ್ಜೇ ದೇ ಡೂ ಆಲ್ ದೀಸ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಬಟ್ ನನ್ ಆಫ್ ದೀಸ್ ಸೆನ್ಸಸ್ ಎವರ್ ಡ್ರಾಸ್ ಅಸ್ ಟುವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ನನ್ ಆಫ್ ದಮ್ ಟೇಕ್ಸ್ ಅಸ್ ಟು ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಅಟ್ ಎನಿ ಪಾಯಿಂಟ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ದೇ ವಾಂಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಗ್ರಾಟಿಫಿಕೇಶನ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ವಾಟ್ ದ ಸೆನ್ಸಸ್ ವಾಂಟ್ಸ್ ಫ್ರಾಮ್ ಅಸ್ ಈಸ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಗ್ರಾಟಿಫಿಕೇಶನ್ ಸೊ ಯು ಕ್ಯಾನ್ ಸಿ ದ ಸೆನ್ಸಸ್ ಆರ್ ದಟ್ ಈವನ್ ಇಫ್ ದಿ ಬಾಡಿ ಈಸ್ ದೇ You can only exploit that body to some extent, but not more than that. It doesn't give you eternal happiness in any way. And one day it will get destroyed. Nobody can live in this world happily ever, keeping this body eternal and at the same time enjoy it. That is why Buddha used to say, remember we talked about this before also, Yadi janma mara bharanam na bhaved, Yadi ishta viyoga bhayam na bhaved, ಯದಿ ಸರ್ವಂ ಅನಿತ್ಯಮಯಂ ನ ಭವೇದ್ ಇಹ ಜನ್ಮನಿ ಕಸಿರ್ ಎದಿರ್ನ ಭವೇದ್ ಬುದ್ಧ ಸೇಸ್ ದೇ ಲಾರ್ಡ್ ಬುದ್ಧಸ್ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ವೇರ್ ಈಸ್ ದಟ್ ಪ್ಲೇಸ್ ವೇರ್ ಜನ್ಮಂ ಜರ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಮರಣಂ ಡಸಂಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪನ್ ಜನ್ಮಂ ಜರ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಮರಣಂ ಡಸಂಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪನ್ ಇನ್ ಅದರ್ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಬರ್ತ್ ಓಲ್ಡ್ ಏಜ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಡೆತ್ ಡಸಂಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪನ್ ವೇರ್ ಈಸ್ ದಟ್ ಪ್ಲೇಸ್ ಯದಿ ಇಷ್ಟವಿಯೋಗ ನ ಭಯಂ ನ ಭವೇದ್ ವೇರ್ ವಿ ಡೋಂಟ್ ಗೆಟ್ ಸೆಪರೇಟೆಡ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಅವರ್ ಓನ್ relations and friends where we do not get them separated from yadi sarva anityamayam na bhaved where is that place where it is exists eternally iha janmani kasir adirna bhaved and that is only place where some attachment can happen but that doesn't happen here so that is the nature of the material body whether we like it or not Buddha says like this that if we have to stay here, that if the body does not have to take birth, doesn't have to die, and the old age does not have to happen, ishtaviyogabhayam, that immediately we think about that, there is a fear inside, happens there. Therefore, it was then that Lord Buddha inquired, is there any way to live eternally, free from this kind of disturbances, what Buddha has spoken about. So therefore, Buddha realized that, and that is exactly what Krishna is saying here, then it is only possible in the platform of soul. Nityam sarvagadasthano ajaloyam sanadana. That very nature of the soul, Krishna says here, is nityam. It doesn't get affected by anything. Sarvagada, it goes in all directions. It can travel everywhere. Sthano, it is stable. സാണു അജലോയം സനാതന ഇറ്റ് ഡസൻ മൂവ് ആൻഡ് ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് എറ്റേണൽ. സോ വെൻ കൃഷ്ണ സ്പോക്ക് ദീസ് ഫ്യൂ തിങ്സ് അബൌട്ട് ദ സോൾ, കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് പോയിൻറ്റിംഗ് ഔട്ട് ദിസ് വൺ ഇമ്പോർട്ടൻറ്റ് പോയിൻറ്റ്, that in material body, on a bodily level, you can never be happy. It is not possible. No matter how hard you try, it will finish in, ultimately, it is only going to create distress. Like Buddha mentions this. So, Krishna's point to Arjuna is this, that as far as the truth is concerned, the reality is only the spirit soul is the truth. Body is not the truth. Body is not the truth. And while speaking to Uddhava, Krishna goes into a little bit higher level and says to Uddhava, Uddhava, this body what you are seeing now itself doesn't exist. But on a preliminary level, Krishna wouldn't say that to Arjuna. Krishna says to Arjuna, the body situation is like this in relationship with the soul. Whereas while talking to Uddhava, Krishna says very bluntly, the body doesn't exist. There's two different levels Krishna is talking to. With Arjuna, he says to the takes to the point that in relationship with the soul, the body is like this. You can't give so much importance to the body. But while talking to Uddhava, Krishna says the body doesn't even exist. That's a much higher level. That's why Ekadasha Skandam in the Srimad Bhagavatam, sometimes it's very difficult for most of the people to who are very absorbed in the body, if you tell them that body doesn't exist, it's a shock for them, isn't it? They think we are crazy to say that. That's how they will take it, because it's natural when you tell them that the body doesn't exist. But Krishna is saying to Uddhava very clearly that Yadidam manasovaja chakshubhyam shravanadibhi nashuram grihyamananja vidhi mayamanomayam, that everything what you see with your eyes, what you smell with your nose, what you hear with your ears, this is all mayamayam, manomayam, which means it's a totally on a much higher level, extremely higher level that it is spoken. And Krishna could only say that to Uddhava, not to Arjuna at this point. Arjuna is a householder, Arjuna has a karmavasana inside, and Arjuna is a kshatriya. All these things, factors are taken into account while talking to Arjuna. Whereas with Uddhava, Krishna didn't have to do that. Uddhava has gone to the mature stage of devotion. Bhakti is completely fulfilled inside, that Krishna felt that now he is ready for the final release from the material life once for all. So he has spoken about the truth in a much higher platform. So, Nityam Sarvagadam Sthanu Achalam Sanadhanam. Krishna has spoken about all these things to Arjuna. Then that is the nature of the soul. Then he talk about anityam, which means temporary, parichinam, limited, and also the situation with the material body. And you can see that after taking birth, every moment the body is changing, constantly changing, and eventually it will die. However hard you try to give happiness to this body, after a limit, you won't get any happiness from that. And not only that, the fear also that one day it will leave you. This will come. So as long as we think in terms of Bhagavad Gita, you can see that Krishna's point is this, that you are completely in Maya thinking about this body so much, and on the other hand, you are forgotten about your spiritual identity as the soul. Tasmad, Krishna says, Tasmad, abariharyate natvam shojitum arhasi. Therefore, this one factor, that material body you cannot save from death, that there is no need to lament about it so much. There is no point in feeling distressed about it, Krishna says. Not only our own body, or even about the body of other people. That is also another important point. That when you are on the bodily level, you are always thinking about your body and also about others' bodies, isn't it? Others' bodies as well. Krishna says that is a big mistake. Body, we have to know how to relate with this, our own body. There was a great Christian saint called Francis of Assisi. The Saint Francis of Assisi, he used to call the body, he was very much like an Indian sage in many ways. He knew that this body is a temporary thing and he has accepted it in that way. So he used to call his own body as brother donkey. That's what he used to call his own body, brother donkey. He said, donkey, you should make it work whenever it is necessary, but it's my brother. In other words, he affectionately used to call it like that, the brother donkey, but it's only a donkey at the end. It's nothing more than that, the brother donkey. So he has got love for it, but he will not expect anything from the donkey. It has come because of prarabdham. Prarabdha karmam, to fulfill that, it has come on me. And as soon as the prarabdha karmam is finished, this body will drop at the end. This was the point he was making. That's why Krishna says here, there's no need to lament because avyaktadini bhudhani. Avyaktadini bhudhani. Vyaktamadhyani bharada. Avyaktadhananyani tatraga paridevana. This is what that verse is talking about. Why didn't this body come to us? We didn't invite that. It came upon us. Why? Because of purva karma vasana or the previous vasanas inside in the subtle body that has generated this material body for us. Material nature does things for us according to our karma vasana. So karma vasana caused this body. When the karma vasana is finished, it will leave us and go. When it is like that, tatraga paridevana, Arjuna, Krishna says to Arjuna, why lament about it? When we are living, we have got a form for this body and later on a name for that. And when we die, where the name is gone, where the form is gone, we don't know about it, isn't it? We don't know about the name. The name has been given for it for some period of time and later on we don't know anything about it. Only for a short period of time, it is manifested in front of us. So Krishna says, Tatraga paridevana. Why do you are thinking about it so much? When feeling distressed about it. It is avyaktam. It is unmanifested before birth. It is unmanifested after death. In between, we are seeing this. In middle of this, between the birth and death, for some time, this body is existing. And at that time, we are competing each other. We are competing each other. Tatraga paridevana. In the Shastram, Upanishads and all will state one thing. The statement is like this, that anything which doesn't have a beginning and anything which doesn't have an end, I mean, in other words, which doesn't exist after a while, in between, if you see something, it really doesn't have any existence, in other words. That means what was not there at the beginning and what was not there at the end, that doesn't have, even if it appears as though it is existing in between, strictly speaking, it has no existence. This is the Mandukya Upanishad statement. I forget that verses. It says there, something which had no existence before and something which had no existence at the end, when it dies, even if it appears for as to have some existence in between, strictly speaking, it has no existence. Because it didn't exist at the beginning, it didn't exist at the end. And this is not a logical thing, it is also a factual statement. In the sense that you can see that something has come and stayed for some time and left us. Something has come, stayed for some time and left us. That is this material body. So, if it is, then the question you may ask, if it doesn't have any existence, but somebody pinches you, you feel the pain, isn't it? It pinches you or beats you up, you feel the pain from that. So, yes, it is true. You will feel pain. Just like in the dream state, if somebody pinches you, you'll feel the pain in the dreams, isn't it? So as much as an existence in the dream, the Jagrat state, the vacant state is also similar. That in the vacant state, what you are experiencing is also similar to what you are experiencing in the dream state. But because it's in the gross body and you are identifying with the gross body, you're feeling the pain as well. But in strictly Krishna's point of view is, this is not even the truth. Therefore, why tatraga paridevana? Arjuna, why you lament about this? Why you cry about it? That Krishna's point is, why cry? Because just like when you see a cinema, sometimes people see a cinema and something happens in the movie, some people cry about it, isn't it? While watching the cinema. So there's a story talked about this, that one person who was already a realized soul, and he used to live working every day very hard. He worked on a daily labor like thing, but he was a realized soul. So suddenly what happens was one of his children died, and they woke him up and informed him about this. And he says there that, oh, before you woke me up, I was in my dreams. And in that dream, I was a prince and I was married, I had children. And suddenly when you woke me up, all of them died in that process. Nobody existing anymore. But right now you are telling me that one of my children died. So should I cry for this child which is in this body which has come about, or the child which is born in the dream who died, all the children died in the dream? Should I lament about that? This is the question he was asking. Jnani alone will ask such a question, because he knows that the truth is neither the dream state nor the vacant state is a real thing. Swapnam and Jagrat, equally an illusion. The only thing is the dream lasts for some time, but the Jagrat state goes away with the body. Jagrat state goes away with the body, that's all. This Jagrat state also, just like Swapnam state, dream state, when you come out from there to Jagrat, you lose it. Similarly, the Jagrat state, you lose it when you lose the body as well, isn't it? So we are thinking the Jagrat state is permanent and everything is real in the Jagrat state. That you cannot say that, because when you lose this body, your Jagrat state is over. So is that real then? How to give reality to something which goes along with this body? Krishna's point is, when you wake up from Jagrat state to Samadhi state, that is reality. Then you will know that Jagrat state was also equally a delusion, like the dream state. Like the dream state. So, first, in order to lose this grip on this body, Krishna is opening up a lot of things to make us aware that the reality is neither this body, nor the mind, nor the intelligence. The only reality is the soul. Tatraga paridevana. And Arjuna is a fighter, isn't it? He is a fighter. So, therefore, he asked Arjuna to fight the war. Then, why does Krishna say like that? If it is all like this, why does Krishna asking Arjuna to fight? This is the question will come. If the body is so temporary, and the material, and Jagrat state is so illusion, why Krishna is asking Arjuna to fight? Therefore, Krishna says there that keeping Arjuna as the objective, and the Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita only for one reason alone, that the extreme example, that means that in order to come out of this illusion while living within this body, there is vasanas already built up inside. So body was given to us only to fulfill those vasanas, what is already there. Now Arjuna's vasanas or Arjuna's propensities are to fight. As a Kshatriya, he has to fight. So, and a realized soul, he will know that the body is functioning only due to the vasanas inside. So in Arjuna's case, Krishna wanted Arjuna to fight so that the vasana in him as a Kshatriya will go. And you cannot resist that, because it's already there in him. The reason why Arjuna's example was given by Vedavyasa Maharshi is this. That out of all the places to execute one's karmam, the most difficult place is the battlefield, isn't it? So it is in the battlefield you have the highest problem, where the biggest crisis in front of you, death is right in front of you, the death is standing. You have to fight against the enemy, and the possibility is that either you may kill many people or you may get killed. So in other words, the most severe crisis in life, in anyone's life, is when death is approaching. Is it not? So death is the point where everyone's final test happens. So by giving an example like that, Krishna is saying to us that even in that battlefield, this knowledge can help you. While fighting the war, this can help you. In other words, because if you have the knowledge, Krishna says, Arjuna, you can fight this war happily. You don't have to worry about it. Keeping the knowledge inside, Krishna expects Arjuna to fight the war. That was Krishna's point. That with this understanding of the soul, if you fight the war, you will not be a loser. In the sense that it is not going to bring you any problems later. Whereas if you run away from the battlefield, it's a problem. Because your vasanas are not fulfilled, naturally you will look for an opportunity to release those vasanas later. Secondly, as a kshatriya, you have failed in your duty. And thirdly, you have acted in ignorance above all. So Krishna's points are very logical. If you look at it from the Shastri point of view, Krishna is saying that if you execute your duty, even in a battlefield, if you have to execute it, you have to do it. Why? Even in a battlefield. What to talk about our life in this world? There is no question of giving up work. There is no question of giving up the work. Even in a battlefield, if you have to do it, you have to do it. Why? With the knowledge inside, if you fight the battle, it's not a wrong thing. But without understanding, if you fight on the basis that I am this body, all the relatives and friends and society is important, identification with them, and I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. If with this understanding, if you fight the battle, it's wrong. It's wrong. But on the other hand, fully understanding that I am spirit soul, body has no identity with me. And with that full realization, if you fight the war, Krishna says it's glorious. That's how Krishna says that. It's glorious, he says. Because it's like a jnani fighting a war. You know what you are and you are not lamenting about it. And all the great personalities in Mahabharata war is like that. Drona, Bhishma, they were all realized souls. They had no fear at all about anything. Why? If you have come to that platform of spiritual realization, then death is not an issue for you anymore. So that is to show to us that even in a battlefield, if this knowledge can be taken seriously, if this knowledge can be kept inside and fight a battle, what to talk about all the other occupations in this world? Where is the problem? That's what Krishna's point is. This is the reason why Bhagavad Gita was brought into Mahabharata war. This was the main reason for that. That in order that people will go away from doing their duty, executing. Because this happened also in the history. If you look, what happened was that after Mahabharata war was over, 2000 years have gone, then Lord Buddha appeared, isn't it? So Lord Buddha appearance was at that time, Karmakandam was very much in practice. I mean, the executing the sacrifices according to the Vedic injunctions. But it also got degraded. And in that process, they started killing animals without any discrimination. So it was in that Lord Buddha appeared and preached this philosophy, Buddhist philosophy, ahimsa and non-violence and all that kind of things. So when that became extreme, what happened? People started giving up all kinds of activities. Everybody became a sannyasi in the society. The whole society is full of sannyasis. Well, what will happen then? So everywhere Buddha viharas and Buddha bhikshus. And anyone found life a lot easier. You just become a sannyasi. Give up everything and become a sannyasi. Keep a bowl in the hand and wander around for food. Anyone ask you, I'm a sannyasi. Give it to me, food. So this mentality will build up. Krishna didn't want that. Krishna's life is full of action, not withdrawing from the world. That's not what Krishna has taught us. Krishna has taught us that with full action in this world, keeping this knowledge inside of your real identity. That's what is expected of us. So Krishna says to Arjuna in the same thing, that he's making it clear, if it is practical in a battlefield, why is it not practical in our life in this world? If it can be practical in battlefield, why can't it be practical in the real life in this world? As long as we can do things, we should do it. We are capable of doing that. Krishna is not rejecting it. But with the understanding what Krishna has given about the soul before. So this Bhagavad Gita's presence here is with this understanding. Krishna not asked us to give up anything in this world. Whatever you have to do, one should do it. But at the same time, with the full understanding of the soul. Eventually, if we execute and fulfill our vasanas in that way, it gets exhausted. And at some point in time, because the knowledge is inside, automatically the karma will leave us. The karma will leave us on its own. Krishna never asked us to run away from family life, home life or anything and do take sannyas and go away. And that's not the solution to the problem. Krishna's life alone, if you analyze here in this world, you will see how Krishna has acted. Throughout the life, Krishna has acted and doing something or the other, as I mentioned before. Right from the childhood, all the way, right up to leaving this planet, Krishna was a very active person. Very, very active. But what was the secret of Krishna's activity? This knowledge is inside all the time. Therefore, never affected by anything. That is why, while stealing the butter and other things from the gopis, while killing Kamsa, while fighting with Jarasandha, while married 16,000 wives in Dwaraka, when he went to battlefield in Kurukshetra, after everything, Krishna is smiling, isn't it? You never see any time Krishna is feeling any disturbed over anything. Why? Because the knowledge is full inside, completely full inside, never affected by anything. So Krishna has given us this understanding in Bhagavad Gita that you don't have to withdraw from anything. You have to carry on with your life, but keep this understanding inside very well that I am nothing to do with this body. It is only a temporary manifestation. And in that point in time, whatever you have to do, one have to do that. And if that knowledge is inside strongly, then I am the doer and I am the enjoyer will also leave. Isn't it? Also leave this. Even if you fight the war, Krishna says you won't lose this knowledge what you have. And if it is manifested properly, then I am not the doer, I am not the enjoyer. Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. That is how Vedanta talks about it. Nitya means eternal, Shuddha means it's pure, and Buddha means conscious, and it is Muktam, it is liberated. This is our true nature. This is the point Krishna is making. Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. That is our true identity. In all these things, Krishna is saying there, in all these things, there is only one thing that is the truth. What is that? The soul. The soul is the only truth in all these transactions what we are carrying out in this world. And at some point in time, the mind has come out of the soul. It has projected through the senses all its activities. And in that way, material world exists for us. Just like a cinema projector, isn't it? It projects. There's nothing permanent here in this creation. Nothing is permanent here. Only reality here is the soul. Only reality here is the soul. Everything is coming and going, coming and going. That is the nature. So you have to play this game. You cannot be more serious than that in this game. You can't be more serious than that. But if you are situated on the spiritual platform, you can take it. Krishna says, you will see everything in this way. That it is just a game that you have to carry on. That karta, bhokta, that those things will also leave you. Just like Krishna says, you fight in a drama. In a drama, sometimes there is a fight, isn't it? Similarly, you have to do datraga paridevana. Suppose you take everything very seriously. What's happening in a drama? What will happen? Krishna says, if you take it very seriously, you will cry. And if you start identification with the character, character identification. If you identify with the role, what you are playing, then it is difficult. Then it will cause problem. Krishna says, you dress up, you have dressed up in a male body or a female body or a father's body or a mother's body or a children's body. Whatever body you have dressed up, you play that role. But completely unaffected by that, fully understanding of your real identity as the soul. And in Yoga Vasishtam, Vasishtha instructed Ramachandra about the same thing. That is the instruction, Yoga Vasishtam. What happened? Yoga Vasishtam says there, at the age of 13, Ramachandra went on a pilgrimage. Ramachandra went on a pilgrimage. This is not in the Valmiki's Ramayanam. This is only in the Yoga Vasishtam. So, 32,000 verses, Yoga Vasishtam. Ramayanam is 24,000 verses. And in Vasishtam, Rama was instructed by Vasishtha. That is the most important topic there. When Ramachandra went on his pilgrimage, when he came back, He saw various things during his pilgrimage and he lost all interest to live in this world. Lord Ramachandra lost all interest to live in this world. He does not want this kingdom. He doesn't want any crowning or any celebrations, anything. Wherever he went, what he saw was people were in distress. People were in distress. And they were suffering only because of ignorance. This was Ramchandra's realization. And he says, everywhere people have so much desires and they are trying to fulfill the desires. And what is the meaning of this life? Ramachandra thought about this very deeply when he came back from his pilgrimage. At the age of 13, this is happening. And then he came to the conclusions that the only reason I can think about this is ahankara vashad iha. Ahankaram is the cause behind it. Then ahankara paroribahu. That there is no other enemy except ahankaram, false ego, which is causing this situation in me. This is Ramchandra's realization. Why? Ramchandra is Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he knows, but in this role, Martyavadarasya Martyashikshanam, in order to teach the human society, he has to reveal certain truths in this world. So therefore, his role is in that way. He is acting here to teach us and his realizations that's coming from that. So Ramchandra says that people are suffering only due to one reason, ahankaram, false ego inside. And due to that, various material desires, and to fulfill those desires, they are struggling hard and nothing is happening from there. So Ramchandra saw this and he stayed at the palace in distress. He was very distressed about this, seeing people's condition. And Vasishtha Maharshi came into picture. And when Vasishtha Maharshi says like this, that I can't see my enemy clearly, where this person is, ahankaram called, and how to destroy him. How will I achieve peace? And otherwise, I am just like with this burden on my shoulders. I am living a life like this. And it is like an old donkey which is carrying a lot of load on his back. The Vasishtam, it says, Jaradagardhabaha. Jaradagardhabaha means a donkey which is very old and which is used to carrying a lot of load on its back. We are all like that, isn't it? For what reason, we don't know. We have pulled all sorts of responsibilities on our head and shoulders. And carrying this, we are suffering and crying all the time. Oh, I got this problem, that problem, everything. Ramchandra is talking about this. He says, Jaradagardhabaha. Jaradagardhabam. In other words, an old donkey like that we live in this world. And Krishna is, and that is exactly what he's saying here. That, that Ramachandra was instructed by Vasishtha at that point in Brahmavidya. Brahmavidya means this knowledge of the soul. When you say instructed means that if you hear from a personality like Vasishtha, immediately that knowledge manifests in someone, isn't it? That is the potency of these great personalities. Vasishtha was a jnani. Jnani's life, if you look at it, jnani's Vasishtha's origin itself, it says like this, that Vasishtha, while talking to Ramachandra, says that if you say like this to other people, what you are telling me now, he says, they will say, Rama has gone crazy. Rama has gone crazy. And you are born as the son of a great, powerful emperor, Dasharatha. And you are talking like this. And you are not able to enjoy your food. And you are so depressed about life. And if you sit like this, this is not a good symptom. But it's not as far as the materialists are concerned. Vasishtha says to him, this is a good symptom as far as spiritual life is concerned. You have seen the whole world is distressed, haven't you? He says. And now you ask me the solution for this problem because you are now qualified for that, to inquire about this. Brahma's son, Vasishtha was Brahma's son. When he was born, he was complete. In other words, he had a complete realization of the absolute truth in him, in Vasishtha. Therefore, he didn't require any more knowledge after his birth. Because Vasishtha is actually Brahma's heart born. If you remember, Mariji Atri Angiras Pulasthya Pulaha Kritu Bhrigu Vasishtha Dakshascha Dashamat Tatra Narada. All these sages have come from, Prajapatis and sages have come from Brahma. Out of and different qualities in Brahma came out as different sages. So, the knowledge part from Brahma manifested as Vasishtha. The knowledge part from Brahma has manifested as Vasishtha. So because it was knowledge, it was complete in him. Vasishtha had the complete knowledge in him. He didn't require any more knowledge. Because of that, if I send him as a acharya to this world, Brahma says here, he will not understand the distress of the people. Because if you are so self-realized, you won't know what is distress means, because distress doesn't affect a realized soul, isn't it? Distress doesn't affect a realized soul. So if Vasishtha comes here and he does not see any distress in this world, what's the point in Vasishtha coming here? So this is Vasishtha's problem. We see the distress in somebody. Why? Because there is no knowledge in us as well. That's why we are able to appreciate the distress of somebody. Great jnanis and realized souls, they don't see any distress in this world. They only see distress because there is ignorance in person. So that is what the message of Bhagavad Gita also in the beginning. There is no reason to lament. There is no reason to feel distressed about anything in this world, because distress is coming from ignorance. From ignorance, ajnanam. So the same thing, problem now for Vasishtha. Vasishtha is coming here with full knowledge. And if you tell, if Vasishtha will not see any distress anywhere, so what can you say to anything, to anybody? So because of that, what happened was, he will not be qualified to give any instructions to anybody. So Brahma deliberately cursed Vasishtha. What was that curse? Curse was, let your mind move from that steady state, what you were in. And not only that, let it wander around a little bit. So for a very short period of time, very, very short period, Vasishtha's mind moved. And with the result was that Vasishtha experienced a little bit of material existence. What it means. He experienced for a very short time period. After that, Brahma says to him, you ask me the solution for the problem. He's saying to Vasishtha, after moving his mind a little bit. Vasishtha asked the question and Brahma answered him at that point about self-realization. Immediately, Vasishtha got recovered from that state again. From his disturbed state, he came back to perfection again. And Vasishtha says to Ramachandra, I experienced this material life for a short period of time in Brahmaloka when I was with my father. And what I've experienced and how I got came out of this material life, the same solution I'll give it to you now. And then Vasishtha instructs Ramachandra in Yoga Vasishtam about this knowledge of transcendental existence. So, and Rama also got recovered from that. Rama also got recovered from his distress in that way. So, that is where he says here, he reached perfect peace with that time. Ahankaram, false ego inside is where everything is originating, isn't it? Originates from false ego inside. What does false ego mean? False ego means doesn't mean that, I'll beat up somebody or I'm so strong. This is not the only false ego. False ego is that the jivatvam or jiva, becoming a jiva itself is false ego. It's due to false ego we feel we are jiva. And false ego is also a product of avidya. Avidya is the cause behind it. So even if you try to destroy this false ego inside, and just like a banyan tree, big, huge banyan tree. You cut the banyan tree as much as possible. Still, you will see it will sprout somewhere. I don't know whether you have observed this. In villages in India, you will see this. They come because banyan tree spreads a large area. It spreads everywhere, isn't it? So even if you have cut the main trunk from the bottom, after a while, you will see it sprouting somewhere else. In one of the branch roots, which has gone in different directions, somewhere it will start growing up again. This is the nature. False ego is like that. You can never cut it off and completely destroy it in that way. It will come up again. So the only thing what you can do is that if you find the seed from where this whole tree has come out, if you burn that seed and destroy it completely, then the chances are it will not sprout again. It will not sprout again. Though, so this ahankaram, false ego inside also, that it has got this seed inside. Somewhere inside there is a seed. So that seed has to go. And how will that seed go? Only by reflecting on the soul. Only by reflecting on the soul. In other words, the more we absorb in the false ego and its activities related to jiva, the false ego will only grow. And with the more little bit more success in this life, in material life, only what it means is your false ego has grown as a big tree. Nothing more than that. So Yoga Vasishtha Maharshi says to Ramachandra, if you are able to act in this world without false ego, then any amount of activity will not cause any problem. But if you act with false ego, it will bring a lot of... false ego will grow, and with the result that our ahankaram will bring distress also. That is the... That fine demarcation between acting with false ego and without false ego is the key in spiritual life also. In spiritual life also. It is a difficult thing to be conscious of this all the time and to react properly in all situations in this world. But the fact remains, the truth is this, that this is the key to how to act in this world. So, as this is where tattva vicharam is necessary. Tattva jitnyasa, what Krishna is talking about, the Sudha Goswami says in the Bhagavadam. What is that? Tattva jitnyasa is constantly reflecting, who am I? From where did this me and my false ego come from? And when you look, you will see that the origin has happened, that forgetfulness of the soul has created this situation. False ego and jiva identity has started from that. And it is at that point all the distress also begins with that, with the false ego. All the distress also. So distresses means what you are experiencing through the mind, isn't it? Mind is where you are experiencing that. So the prime cause is the false ego. If you constantly reflect on this matter, which the jnanis do, they found out that this false ego will disappear and Krishna will manifest. That means Atmatattvam, the knowledge of the soul will manifest in the heart. Therefore, constantly inquire who you are. This is the instruction, the Yoga Vasishtha. Yoga Vasishtha is a very authoritative book for the jnanis. Yani study that book very seriously. Why? Because there this knowledge is spoken in depth to inquire about oneself, to one's own identity. So after some time, Ramachandra also practiced this on Vasishtha's instructions, and Ramachandra felt very peaceful. And it is because of this knowledge inside, Ramachandra's activities, if you observe after that, you will see Ramchandra's mind never moved. When Kaikeyi demanded that Ramchandra must go to forest, Ramchandra had no problem. Isn't it? Lakshmana was disturbed, but Ramchandra was not disturbed. Ramchandra took it very happily, accepted it. Why? Because this knowledge was inside. Similarly, when Sidadevi had to be sent to the forest, and Ramchandra asked because of the washerman what he has spoken, some remarks about Ramchandra, which you know the story, in Uttara Ramayanam it will come, that Ramchandra told Lakshmana, take Sidadevi to the forest and leave her there and come back. Lakshmana was furious about it, seeing Ramchandra's mood at that point. But Ramchandra said, it's not Ramchandra who is ordering you, your brother, it's the king who is ordering. If you don't take it, the head will go, he said. So this is to tell Lakshmana also, Ramchandra had that courage to do that. And so where did all this courage come from? To send a pregnant wife to the forest at that point. And to do that, Ramchandra needed, that strength was inside. Why? Because of this knowledge of the soul inside. So how important it is that making the right decision at the right time, those things will only happen when one is situated on the platform of the soul. If you are sitting on the bodily platform, your decisions can falter. It will falter. It will not come to the right way. But understanding of with the identity with the soul and properly identified with the soul and the decisions are made, it will never go wrong. That is the conclusion from this. That Vasishtha says to Ramachandra, you have got the you now got the permanent solution to the problem, and you can do anything what you like in this world now. This thing will never go away. This blissful experience what you are having now will never go away. All other things, you may lose it. All other things, you may lose it. Because if you don't practice it, you will lose it. Dance, music, everything. But this one particular one, Brahmanubhuti, or the realized state, you will never lose it once you have got it. Not only that, it will keep on growing inside. Once it has grown inside, it will keep growing again. And now, he says here, Loke Vihara Raghava, Ramachandra, you go and play your role in this world, whatever role you have to play. So you can see, Ramachandra and Krishna, both when they acted in this world, they acted with total detachment to everything. when Ramachandra asked this question to Vasishtha, what am I supposed to do now? Vasishtha says to Ramachandra, by your very nature and by your birth here as a Kshatriya family member, your next duty is to become a king. So you become a king, not to become a sannyasi. Ramachandra wanted to become a sannyasi after his pilgrimage when he came back, seeing all the distress in this world. But Vasishtha says to Ramachandra, no, your duty is to become a king. So, but live like a king with this understanding inside, with the knowledge of the soul. Then, otherwise, if you become a sannyasi, people will exploit you, he says to Ramachandra. Then, because sannyasi means you are not supposed to get angry, isn't it? And at the same time, and everyone will use you like a doormat. They will try to exploit you from that. So, without any movement inside, carry out all your duties in this world unaffected by the modes of nature. It says, Loke Vihara Raghava. Externally, you have to do everything what has to be done. But inside, you should not allow the mind to move. And to those whom you have to show love and affection, you have to show the love and affection as though, but it has to be artificial. And similarly, when you have to get angry, you have to get angry, but it has to be artificial. Why? Because the soul, which is present in everyone, there is no question of a soul getting upset with anybody. If it is done like that, you won't stick to anything. This is the point Vasishtha was talking about to Ramachandra. And work and do your things, whatever you have to do, completely free. And this is a drama. As far as Vasishtha is concerned, this is a drama. Whatever dress you have accepted, you have to play that role. And once this realization is inside, you will not be affected by anything. Otherwise, if you start identifying with the body, then you will be in problem. Once, as I mentioned before, that Lord Narasimha's drama was happening, going on. Lord Narasimha appeared as an incarnation, isn't it? So when he appeared in the stage, Hiranyakashipu was standing there. Hiranyakashipu was supposed to fight with Narasimha, isn't it? But unfortunately, what happened was, the person who has dressed up like Hiranyakashipu, internally he was a devotee of Narasimha Murthy. So he has been told and trained very well before the drama what his role is as Hiranyakashipu. He has been trained very well. But it so happened, when suddenly Narasimha Murthy appeared, he started glorifying Narasimha Murthy, Hiranyakashipu. So you can see, Srimal Payodhini Kedana Chakrapani, Lishmi Narasimha Mamadehi Karavalambam. He started glorifying Narasimha Murthy. So in other words, he has forgotten his role, what he had to play, and his real consciousness started coming out. That should not happen, Vasishtha is saying to Ramachandra. That should not happen. You have to play your drama, whatever role you have taken, you have to play that role. But inside that consciousness, what you are, you should keep to yourself. Should not allow that to come out. It's a difficult thing. People will see it's all duplicitous, isn't it? Mm. People will ask like that. It is not. Mm. All Mahatmas have done this, and it is necessary to be like that. Being that way, what will happen is, if it is practiced properly in this way, eventually when your realization is very, very strong, you will see that what actually exists is only the soul, not the body. And our temporary lamentation and temporary compassion for other living entities, these things will go away from us. They have no meaning, really. Practically speaking, you can see ignorance is the cause of all the misery. That there is no proper knowledge of the soul and our spiritual identity has gone away. And therefore, we have all the problems of this world. So, what is inside, you should not allow that to come out. The understanding inside, you should not allow that to come out. Even while dealing within the family members, you have to keep that inside. Your identity is the soul, nothing to do with this family, the society, friends and all that. Externally, we have to show everything as a normal father or a mother or a grandfather, whichever role you are playing, that's a dress you have to put on then at that time. You should not become like this person who dressed up like Hiranyakashipu, and eventually when he saw Narasimhamurti, he start glorifying him. So what will happen then? That drama. Drama is finished there, isn't it? So this is actually it is. This is the situation. Our situation is like that. Where is the connection otherwise? Once you leave this body, all these serious relationships we have given importance to, what meaning has it got? 60, 70 years, so many roles you have played. And you can notice that also when people get very old, very, very old, that they are ready to leave this world and go. And you will see a certain mood in them that the affection they have shown to you and to others, they start slowly disappearing. Why? Because they themselves have to move on to their next life. In the early days in the life in that body, they were feeling affectionate to everybody, affectionate to children, grandchildren and all that. But as they get older, and when they themselves have to go away from that body, they start realizing, all this I have been having, the attachment and affection for all the people of this world, doesn't mean much. It doesn't have any sense, really. In one day, we are leaving all this and going from here. We are more concerned about where you are going rather than what's happening to all the family members and all the society and social life and everything. That's all finished at that point. So, to that state, Krishna is bringing Arjuna into that understanding. Through all this, what we have spoken, what Krishna is trying to do with Arjuna is to bring him to this understanding that you have to play your role as a Kshatriya here, as a fight the war. But don't be attached to any of these things, your so-called relatives, friends and all that. You are something different than all these things. That actually fighting the war is not the important thing. Fighting the war is not the important thing. Important thing is to know the truth and living the life accordingly. You do whatever you like after that, after knowing the truth, then nothing will happen. Nothing will happen after realizing the truth. Whether you are cooking in the kitchen, whether you are fighting a war, it doesn't matter. Or like King Janaka in Mithila, he ruled the whole empire in this consciousness. Because Sudeva Goswami gave this certification to King Janaka, isn't it? He says that no matter what it is, all the personalities who appear in that family, they were all realized souls. That's why Janaka, when he ruled the plan, when he ruled the kingdom, he ruled in this way, completely detached everything. All the time, the great, great jnanis were coming to him for advice, who were realized souls. They wanted to discuss about Brahmavidya with him. Sudeva Goswami including, came to see King Janaka. Janaka was a householder and Janaka was a king. Can you imagine anyone who is more involved in this world than King Janaka? And to that King Janaka, Sudeva Goswami is coming to discuss about Brahmavidya. You see, Ashtavakra Maharshi comes to Janaka, Yajnavalkya Maharshi comes to Janaka. All the great souls, they were great, great realized souls, like Yajnavalkya, Ashtavakra, Sukadeva Goswami, they are coming to see King Janaka to discuss about Brahmavidya. So imagine what state of realization is King Janaka is. King Janaka was willing to discuss with them. Why? They asked King Janaka. King Janaka says, I don't see anything in this world because always fixed in the soul, only platform of the soul. In other words, never affected by anything. That Krishna says here, don't get distressed over this. Everybody has their own prarabdham. Accordingly, one has to live in this world. There's nothing you can do about it. So Krishna says to Arjuna, somebody will be a Sudev Goswami, and someone will be in a little different. Those who have known this Brahmavidya is very, very few. And therefore, this is the reason Krishna says, because the nature of Brahmavidya is like this, that it is such a rare thing, very few people have known that, and because when it is realized, they see the whole thing in a different level altogether, and their activities also becomes something amazing. And in order to show that, Krishna talks the next verse. And it is one of the most important verses in the Bhagavad Gita, text 29. I'll just recite that verse. Ascharyaval pashyati kaschidenam. Ascharyaval vadati tadaiva chanyaha. Ascharyaval chainam anyashrunoti. Shrutyapyenam vedanas chaiva kaschil. Ascharyaval pashyati kaschidenam. Ascharyaval vadati tathaiva chanyaha. Ascharyaval chainam anyashrunoti. Shrutvapyenam vedanas chaiva kaschil. So you will see Krishna has used the word ascharyam 3 times there. In every line, more or less, Krishna says, Ascharyaval pashyati kaschidenam, Ascharyaval vadati tadaiva chanyaha, Ascharyaval chainam anyashrunodi, Shrutvapyenam vedanas chaiva kaschil. Krishna says this about the soul. He says, soul is such a thing that it is always only one thing Krishna could say about the soul. What is that? Ascharyam. It's an amazing thing. Krishna says this thing called soul. What we try to do is to try to bring everything under our understanding with the mind, isn't it? With our understanding of the mind. That's why people study, do courses, seminars and all that, and they come back with questions. The questions are originating because they have not understood the soul. This is where the problem begins. If you have understood the soul, there is no question to ask anymore. There is no question after that. Once you have understood the soul. When you have not understood the soul, there will be a lot of questions. So here in this verse, Krishna is taking away that misunderstanding about the soul. We have a lot of misunderstanding about the soul. Somebody will say, somewhere you will read, as Anil was mentioning, 1/10,000 tip of the hair is the size of the soul. Again, our mind is working. How big is it? How small is it? How much space it takes? And how does it look like? All these thoughts will come through our mind, isn't it? Why? Our mind is very much absorbed in the world, isn't it? So we are thinking that soul is something which you can understand with the mind. Soul is something which you can understand with the mind. Therefore, we are trying to, somehow we want to get a grip on it. But because it is soul and mind cannot touch it. Remember, edo vacha nivartanda aprapya manasa saha, Upanishad says. Aprapya, aprapya means you cannot reach the soul with the mind. Mind cannot get you there. Mind cannot touch it. So no matter how hard you try to understand the soul with the mind, with the senses, with the intelligence, you will fail. You will fail. Soul is something what you have to experience, not to bring it under mind's purview or mind's limits. Our experience in this world, everything is through the mind, isn't it? Everything through the mind. Anything you are told, immediately what you do, you try to bring it under mind's view. Say you meet somebody, you'll say, we'll see him. Oh, how worth is it? Is he the person? How old is he? What's his family background? Where is he coming from? What language does he speak? So, in a similar way, different things we analyze about a person. within ourselves. That is from the mind. That's from the mind. Similarly, any object in this world, first thing what we do is to use the mind to analyze that object and to identify and to bring it. So that, because if it comes within the mind's jurisdiction, then you feel they have got it, isn't it? You got control over it. You have some idea about it. But soul, Krishna says, don't try in that way. Soul will never, ever will be under the control of the mind or intelligence. And that is why Ascharyavel. It's all Ascharyam for Krishna says, Ascharyavel Pashyati Kaschidenam. Some look on the soul as amazing. Some describe him as amazing. And some hear of him as amazing. While others, even after hearing about him, cannot understand him at all. You see, cannot understand him at all. So this is where spiritual life is different from material life. In material life, everything is in the purview of mind. This is a mistake what the scientists are also doing. Scientists are trying to understand the soul through research and experience. Some of them believe there is a soul. See, some of them believe. Some of them even don't believe in it. Those who believe in it, they think that one day they may be able to get some grip on this, on this thing called soul. They may be able to get some grip on the soul. But soul, Krishna is saying here, that cannot understand him at all. You will never be able to understand the soul. So it is. This is why it's called transcendental, isn't it? Beyond the purview of the mind and the intelligence things and senses. So, because if these words they had read in the Bhagavad Gita, all this research what they are doing can come to a stop. Because it's something which you cannot do. Realizing our own limitation, that's what it is. To accept our limitations, what we are. And this verse has been taken from Kathopanishad. That's why Prabhupada mentions that straight away. Listen. Shraniya vibahubir yo nalabhya, shrunando vibahavo yana vidyu, ashcharya vakto kushalasya labdha, ashcharya jnada kushala anushishtaha. Immediately after that, Prabhupada says that, since Gita Upanishad is largely based on the principle of the Upanishads, it is not surprising to find this passage in the Kathopanishad. It says there. Actually, the truth is that it was there in the Kathopanishad. Krishna took it from Kathopanishad and put in the Bhagavad Gita. That's how it is. But it's not surprising to also find this passage in the Kathopanishad, Prabhupada says there. But the fact is that this verse in the Kathopanishad was written much before Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Krishna. So that verse from Upanishad, Krishna has taken and put it here. Practically, there is no difference between the two verses. It's exactly the same thing. Ascharya vakta kushalo syalabdha, ascharya jnada kushala anushishtaha. Then, so analyzing this verse is important. In Bhagavad Gita, this is one of the most important verses. And if you look at the verse in the Kathopanishad, it says like this, that the
कुशलोस्य लब्धा यादा कुशला अनुशिष्टाः.
that of that self which is not available for the mere hearing so many. That is Shriyavi Bahubhiyona Labhya. That even after hearing about it, it's not possible to understand the soul. Then Shrunandobi Bhavo Yana Vidhyu. That which even after hearing about this, they do not understand, even after hearing. And Asharyavatta Kushalosya Labdhaha. That the speaker is wonderful and the receiver is also wonderful. Wonderful Ascharya Jada Kushalanushishtaha. Wonderful is he who knows under the instruction of an adept person, Kushalanushishta. So that is a verse in the same verse what has come into Bhagavad Gita also, what Krishna has spoken about that. So Ascharyaval Pashyadi Kashchidenam. That Ascharyam, that is the first word. What is Ascharyam? Ascharyam means excitement, isn't it? It's an excitement. Amazing. It's an excitement. Normally, it's a symptom of ignorance, isn't it? When you are ignorant about something, you are excited about it. Wherever there is Ascharyam, or wherever there is excitement, you must take it that the mind is there. The mind is present. That's why you're feeling excited about it. Sadashiva Brahmendra, who has a realized soul, he talks about this. He says like this. He says that if a dead man who has left the body and gone away, suppose the dead person gets up and start dancing, it won't be a surprise at all, he says. That realized souls will not, normal people will think, oh, what an amazing thing, isn't it? A dead person has got up and started dancing. But realized souls does not think even that as a surprising thing. Why is that? Because in Maya, anything can happen. Anything can happen in Maya. Maya's potency is unlimited. Nobody understands Maya. When Maya does something, we all get completely surprised by that. Isn't it? Therefore, the definition, Maya's definition is Aghatita Ghatana Patiyasi Maya. Aghatita Ghatana Patiyasi Maya. It means Maya can do something which nobody else can do it. We have some understanding in this world, things have to happen in this order, isn't it? Scientists and all the big men, they say that how can that happen, we will say. But it can happen. Anything can happen in this creation. Then, the Aghatita Ghatana Patiyasi Maya. Now, whose Ascharyam Krishna is talking about? Whose excitement Krishna is talking about? Krishna says, in others' point of view, when others are seeing this, the science of the soul is a wonderful thing for them. It's a great wonder for them. Brahma Vidya. Science of the soul is called Brahma Vidya. Brahma Vidya is an amazing thing for those who do not know about it. That because seeing the soul is not possible, isn't it, in our conditioned state. In the realized state, what you have is experiencing the soul. In other words, soul's qualities, eternity, blissful, and knowledge. These are the qualities of the soul. You are experiencing that. So, it was at that time, it was saying, Krishna is saying here, that people find because of this, that they cannot see it, but when it is experienced, they are saying it's an amazing thing, this thing called soul. Although they can't see it, when they have realized it, they feel it is amazing. They say like this, Krishna says, Ascharyaval Pashyadi Kashchidenam, that they start seeing soul as an amazing thing. You cannot see it, but you can experience it. That is one meaning. Another meaning, they are saying here that you can't put any rules on the soul, how the soul will react in any situation. You cannot impose any of our rules of this material world onto the soul. If you put any rules onto the soul, that whatever rules you apply, it doesn't apply to the soul. Soul does not accept any of the rules and regulations of this world, whatever we impose upon him. Because breaking all the laws of this world, somebody will realize the soul. Breaking all the laws of this world. That's an interesting statement, because generally we join an institution for what? For spiritual advancement, isn't it? And we think it is only in this institution this can happen. And most of the time what happens is, somewhere else somebody realizes a soul who never went to any institution, who never had any training, and in the institution, even after years and years of practice of spiritual life, nothing comes out at the end. Is it not amazing, Krishna is saying? Our conditioned state, we are thinking, oh, there is so many missions in this world. Say, for example, ISKCON, Ramakrishna Mission, Chinmaya Mission, Amritanandamayi's Mission, or Swami Narayan Mission. So many missions in here. Purpose of all these missions is for what? To propagate spiritual knowledge. And you expect that realized souls will come out of this, isn't it? But it doesn't happen. It happens somewhere else, unknown, somewhere, somebody who understood this message, took it seriously, reflected on this and realized himself. Without any... So what do you do? We are thinking and joining an institution thinking that the institution is going to give it to us. That is the hope in us, isn't it? We have got the system of gurus, GBCs, this, that, everything we have got. But only that thing what we are looking for, we are not getting. Isn't it? Only thing what you are looking for, you are not getting it. We can discuss day after day, make resolutions, make decisions, make courses, make seminars, make parikrama, make this, make that. Everything we can do. Krishna's point is this. Ascharyaval pashari kashchidenam. You will find him somewhere else where you never thought it will happen there. That's the beauty of the soul. So that is why Krishna is saying in this first line, Ascharyaval pashari kashchidenam. Nobody can say or impose any rules on the soul where he will appear or where he will not appear. That is not in our control, because that is the very nature of the soul. Therefore, it is amazing because of this nature. Because of the nature. Now, in the other thing is, I remember I mentioned this before also, this knowledge will happen anywhere, completely unexpected, in a place like this. That I talked about that Kaushika Brahmana story, if you remember. The Kaushika Brahmana performed a lot of penances, and eventually one day he was sitting underneath the tree and he was in chanting his Gayatri. At that time, a crow flew over and passed a stool on his head. And he got angry, immediately got upset. And he looked at the crow and it fell off, fell down and into a piece of ashes. It burned and fell down. When the Kaushika Brahmana saw that, he thought that I've got some power now, mystic power I have, siddhis have come to me. So I must be somebody important now. That how did this happen to me? Because of all his austerities and penances, siddhis comes like this. It is then that he went to this one particular house begging for the food. When he went there for begging for the food, the lady in the house was attending to her husband, doing some service to him. But as soon as Kaushika Brahmana came there, the lady understood that he has a lot of ego inside. It's a lot of ego inside. So deliberately, to teach him a lesson, although from outside he begged for the food, she didn't reply first time, second time. Third time when he repeated, she answered. She told him that please wait for some time till I finish my work, I'll come over and then I'll give you the food, he said. Kaushika Brahmana thought that, why is she talking like this? I am come here to beg food. Does she know who I am? Meanwhile, seeing his face, she replied, saying to him that I am not a crow which is going to burn into ashes, she says to him, like that. When she said that, Kaushika Brahmana became very shocked. He says, how did she know about what has happened many miles away, what happened to me and with the crow? So he wanted to find out about this from her. She, after doing her service to her husband, she comes out and gives food to him. She did this deliberately. And then he asked her this question, that how did you know what happened with the crow and that I had this siddhi. She says, I was not frightened about your siddhi. I'm not a crow that by looking at me I'm going to burn into ashes. This is how she replied that. Deliberately to hurt him, she spoke in that way. So she says to him, if you want to know about this, go to Benares, Dharmavyada is there. There's a person, Dharmavyada, there. Go and see him and ask him this question. What you have asked me, he will answer you this question. She says to him. So he goes to Kaushika Brahmana, was more curious to meet this personality, Dharmavyada. Again, he was thinking he must be a very big sannyasi who will be sitting there in Benares. So naturally he went there and his inquiry was all about Dharmavyada. Where is this sannyasi Dharmavyada living? Nobody knew a sannyasi by name Dharmavyada there. Nobody knew about it. Eventually, he managed to find out that Dharmavyada is a butcher. Dharmavyada was a butcher. And he lived in one of the gullies in the narrow streets in Benares where there were butchers and he was one among them. And Kaushika Brahmana could not believe it himself that this is the person I have to go and ask. As soon as he walked in, Dharmavyada inside, he is telling him, oh, that Madaji had sent you here, hasn't it? In other words, the house where he was begging for the food, she has sent you here, isn't it? I'll speak to you. Can you wait for a moment, he says. Kaushika got a shock again. How does he know that I was coming here? And after a little time, when Dharmavyada finished his business of cutting the meat and finishing all his work, he says to the Brahmana, come with me now to the home. I can talk to you there, he says. So Kaushika Brahmana goes with him to the house. Then, so both this lady in the house and Dharmavyada, both are jnanis. They are realized souls. They are jnanis. Already they are realized. And jnanis doesn't need any siddhis. Jnanis have already got the siddhis. Why? Because the fact is that Svapnopamanaham, all the siddhis are actually, it is a brahmam. Brahmam means it's a kind of a mental thing. It is involved, mind involved in that, isn't it? We are finding it difficult to get out of this world itself. The world itself is a brahmam. Brahmam means basically it's a mental, mental concoction or mentally absorption in there, something which is not real, but the mind is stressing it's very real. In other words, we take that very seriously due to the presence of the mind in us, isn't it? It's a mind that is giving reality to this world for us. So already the reality of the world is within us due to the presence of the mind. Now added to that, if siddhis also come, what will happen? You'll be more affected by that, isn't it? Siddhis will also be affected by it. But siddhis are also actually nothing but a dream. It's nothing but a dream. If you give a lot of austerities and penances or give pain to the body in different ways, some siddhis will develop in a person. That's why many yogis, when they execute many yoga practices, they also develop a lot of siddhis from that, isn't it? To give an example, Krishna is saying that even the birds have got siddhis. They have got the siddhi how to fly in this world. That's only given to the bird's body. Our body, we don't have that. We have to develop mechanical arrangements how to fly in this world. But birds, they don't have any problem in flying, isn't it? Because that particular siddhi is given to them by Krishna's arrangement in that body. They can fly without any external arrangements. So it's a siddhi for the birds, isn't it? It's a siddhi for the birds. Similarly, utilizing the matter, you can achieve many, many siddhis in this world. So many of the things, the modern inventions, are nothing but siddhis. Like this microphone, television, mobile phones, fridge, everything is a siddhi. Siddhi in the sense that scientists have used their energy in this direction. And if you use the energy intensely, very much, eventually it will come out with many siddhis. So these are also siddhis. All scientific discoveries are also siddhis. These things we could not even imagine before. Most of the siddhis what we have got today. But the fact is that none of these siddhis will give you peace inside. Peace won't happen with the siddhis. And it will not solve all your distress also. Distress what comes to a person. The only thing is it amazes everyone. It makes surprise to others. There's no other benefit from that. How the siddhis works through one person. When siddhis develop, they also do not know why it happens like that. Scientific inventions also, if you take, somehow or the other, they have come out with the products, what they have manufactured, isn't it? But why it happens, they don't have the answer for that. For example, when we have developed air conditioning, for example, temperature, get controlling the heat and the cold. We have found out the mechanism, how to do it. But why should it happen? That answer is not there in that. Even because the matter is, we have learned to manipulate the matter through our discoveries. We have succeeded in to that extent that we are able to manufacture them, market them, use them. But beyond that, if you ask the question, why should the temperature change? Because of the change in the temperature, how does change temperature happens in the mechanism, there is no definite answer to that question. It's not possible to explain that. All artistic and scientific discoveries are siddhis. But siddhis are not a symptom of knowledge. We are talking about spiritual knowledge now. Siddhis, that is the what we have acquired through our penances, austerities and penances. So when we execute for our knowledge, it is their sadhana that has come out in the form of siddhis. We execute sadhana for spiritual realization. They execute sadhana for these siddhis, the scientists. That's all it is. Their sadhana is the time they spend in the laboratory, studying, researching, experimenting and all that. And they come out with their results. That's their siddhis. The sadhana we execute is for spiritual realization. Then, jnanis, on the other hand, they know very well, if they want to develop siddhis, they can have it. It's nothing that stops them. Syal Isharasya Avyahridam. Even up to the extent of all, Krishna will mention this in the Bhagavadam later to Uddhava. Uddhava, these siddhis, you should not go after them. He classifies these siddhis in detail in the Bhagavadam. He will see there are many major siddhis and there are so many minor siddhis. Like Paragaya Pravesham. That means, while living in this body, you can enter into somebody else's body. Leaving this body here, you can go into somebody else's body and experience everything, what is going on within his body and his mind. You can do that. Dura Shravanam, hearing something sitting here, what's happening in America or India, you can hear from here. You can see the person in America or in India from here, sitting in this place. Paragaya Praveshanam, Dura Shravanam. Then Agashagamanam, traveling in the sky in the astral body without the help of any mechanical arrangement. Like this, there are so many siddhis mentioned in the Bhagavadam. And Krishna says, some of them are minor, some of them are major. Some of them the ordinary conditioned soul cannot reach. But many of them, Krishna lists them, that anyone can get them, these siddhis. Yoga siddhis they are called, Aishwarya siddhis, different names they have given. Any of them can get them by performing, executing austerities and penances. Krishna says this in the Bhagavadam. That includes, suppose you want something which is far away, you want to have it here, you can get it here. And Dura Shravanam, hear what is happening from a long distance. Paragaya Pravesham, there are many mentions. And some of them, Krishna says, they are major ones, that I only have that. Others won't have it. So, siddhis are not something Krishna gives a lot of importance to. In the Bhagavadam, you will find this. And he told Uddhava also at the end, Uddhava, these siddhis are there, but they are not much of a use to you, because they are only helpful for what? Kalakshapana Hedava, that's the word Krishna used. Kalakshapana Hedava means it can help you to make a living in this world. That's all, nothing more than that. Say, for example, a person comes to, say, town center. And he started showing all these kind of different siddhis. He started exhibiting there. Then naturally people will get attracted to it, isn't it? People, when you're parking through the streets, they see this thing. So he says to them, look, I can show you different siddhis. And he puts his hat there. So everybody sees the siddhis and they feel that this person is extraordinary. And they'll put some money into the hat. You can collect all the money and go home and make a living like that. Isn't it? Karachamana Hedava. So Krishna gives only that much importance to these siddhis. Jnanis are also like that. Siddhis has no value more than that. So all the arts are siddhis. Even when the jnanis, you will see sometimes siddhis. But because due to the, while executing for realizing the truth, they may have executed some austerities and penances. The result of that, they will have some siddhis. And if they demand for them, they may get the siddhis also. But normally they won't ask for the siddhis. Even if you give it to them, they won't take it. For jnani is concerned that all the siddhis are in their hands. That is the important thing. So Kaushika experienced this. And Kaushika was telling that Kaushika has also received this particular siddhi, what we have spoken about the Kaushika. That with the result, main problem, Krishna says, with this siddhi, what will happen is false ego will develop inside. And in our Kaushika Brahmana's case, this false ego has not gone away. With the acquiring this little siddhi, what he has got, that by looking at somebody, he can turn them into ashes. His false ego has become very strong. And already there is false ego. Now you have added more false ego into it. So Krishna is saying here that because of this, the knowledge of the soul is difficult to get in. When it is like that, when there is so many siddhis in a person, the spiritual realization won't happen to him very easily. That is why it is said here, Asharyaval Pashyadi Yal Shranoti. That even if they have got a lot of siddhis, if you talk to them about the soul, it will not enter inside. As they say, many hears, very few listens. So, so many times you hear about the soul inside, about the soul in this world. You read the book and people talk about it. But it doesn't enter. Krishna says, it's not that a wonder. It's not that a wonder. He says, everything else you speak to people, they will take it inside. But only about the soul, when you talk to them, they won't take it. He says, that is not that amazing, Krishna says here. That Krishna himself says, Shravanayabi bahubir labiha shrunadobi. Even if they hear about it, very few get it. Very few get this thing. That is the most interesting thing. Even if they hear it, they won't understand it. And if they understand it, Krishna says, it's the greatest wonder, the soul. Krishna is only keep on referring to the soul to make us understand, not to allow the mind to get involved with the soul. If you allow the mind to take the soul seriously, it will never work. That's the important point Krishna is saying here. That then we heard about this Kaushika Brahmana situation. There were many like this. And if you look at the realized souls list in the world, in the past history, you will be amazed in this world, the people who have realized the self. And they came from such situations. You will never think that they could be self-realized. There were personalities. In the few persons I have heard about who were self-realized. They were housewives. They had family. They brought up children. They had the husband. They had all the responsibility at home, but they were self-realized. Mother Janaki, she was very well known. She lived about 100 years ago. She was well known. About her self-realized state was spoken. She was already self-realized. She was a mother. She had children. And all the family life she had, but she was self-realized. Ramadevi, another mother, she was a saintly person. She, after self-realization, she became so famous that she had many followers. She started an institution that she had an ashram of her own. Many people went there to learn from her about self-realization and got associated with her. There were so many personalities like this. All these people, they never had, they never went to any institution, and they never had any serious association. The only thing what has happened to them was that somehow or the other, they came into contact with someone. They took the message from them very seriously, what they were told by the realized souls whom they met with. And that message that has gone in, that grew up inside very strongly. In other words, through reflection and through proper analysis, they came to the truth. They realized the truth. So it is impossible to say where self-realization will happen in this world. It's impossible to say. Many known people, and there are many unknown people in this world who may not even know about them. They don't make an advertisement to the world, "I am self-realized, come to me." They won't say that. They live their life in their particular way and they are self-realized. But only those who know, only a self-realized soul can find out another self-realized soul. That is the problem. And otherwise people who are with ordinary understanding will find it very difficult. So, here what happened was that the important question now we have to ask is that how did that lady, whom I mentioned as the self-realized soul, the mother, came to know when Kaushika Brahmana came there, what has happened there with the crow? Isn't it? Without anyone informing her, just by seeing this Kaushika Brahmana, she understood what has happened and she was able to inform him about it. And same thing when he went to Dharmavyada mentioned to him that, "Oh, the mother must have sent you from that village, isn't it?" Referring to this lady who sent him from there. So how did Dharmavyada knew about this? That this lady was able to, that he was able to quote this lady who sent Kaushika Brahmana here. How did he know about this? This is not a wonder. Is that not a wonder how this has happened? So Krishna is saying here, that jnanis have got their inside is like a mirror. Jnanis know these. Everyone who goes to jnani will know them inside out, what they are inside, just by seeing them. How do they do that? That's what's explained here. That jnanis are like a mirror. When we go there, they start immediately communicating with us. How? There is no special process or anything for that. In two ways, they do it. If the person who is going there, if they have got devotion for him, that immediately he will know everything what is inside this person. One who has got the devotion for him. Why he has come, what is going through his mind, and how it's working, everything will be known to him straight away. Because inside a jnani, there is no vasanas. Vasanas have all completely gone away. So, ragam dvesham is not there. It's so clean inside. When you come, immediately all your thoughts will get transmitted to me, straight away, if I am a jnani. But if a jnani sees you, he will immediately, all your thoughts going through your mind will get transmitted to him. Because, if you remember, sarvabhuta hrayam, that is a jnani's heart. He can, in that position, know other's heart very well, what is happening inside. This is one situation, that if somebody who comes is a devotee or is devoted to this jnani will immediately sense everything what is going on inside. Everything will be communicated to him. He will hand over everything here. Suppose he have gone to see him fully hating him or fully in disgust. Even in that time, all the psychic energy from him will get communicated to him, that you have come with this mood inside. Questioning mood or critical mood or criticizing mood, still everything what is inside will go to him. He will know you straight away. So that's what has happened here. Kaushika Brahmana, when he got upset with that lady in the house while asking for the food, that she inside Kaushika Brahmana, this hate was building up. He was getting a little bit affected by that. And at that time, immediately from inside, the lady understood that he is boiling inside. He's boiling inside. So she could straight away see what has happened, where this ego is coming from. Ego is coming from because he had this siddhi in him. He has got this siddhi in him. Immediately she decided to make it clear to him that that my siddhi is higher than your siddhi. In other words, by telling him that I know that you are coming here because you think that I'm like the crow which fell in front of you into ashes, that I'm not going to become like the crow. I'm not going to turn into ashes like that. So by saying that, the lady has gave this understanding to Kaushika Brahmana that what you have achieved through your siddhis is nowhere near to what I know, what is going on inside. So Kaushika Brahmana got more impressed by this, by these words of the mother, who gave him the food eventually and sent him away and told him to go and see Dharmavyadha. And when he came to Dharmavyadha, Dharmavyadha's question was more interesting, that this mother has sent you here, hasn't he? Come, come, he says, and invites him. That so we will communicate with the jnani straight away, as soon as we see them. And if they have the compassion for us to show anything, that as soon as when we go there, they swallow us inside completely. Completely they take us inside. That so that's why she said to him that I am not the crow who is going to be burned in straight away. Where did this siddhi come from? Siddhis are always cause of the distress. And what the mind requires is peace, not siddhi. And this peace is the greatest siddhi for the mind. That therefore Krishna says here, amani bhavastiti, amani bhavam, that is what it is called. Ashcharyaval shrunoti, and ashcharyaval, even if he hears about soul, still it is an amazing thing for us. Amazing thing for us. So our Kaushika Brahmana was thinking like this: all the tapas, austerities I have performed, and what I have learned from that austerities or realizations, what I have got or the siddhis I have got, in front of the knowledge of this mother, it is all very small. And that is why when she told him to go to Dharmavyadha, and Dharmavyadha's place of residence, when he saw, he could not understand how Dharmavyadha has come to this state of consciousness. So it was then that, first of all, he is doing a very abominable work. Isn't it? Very abominable work he is doing of the butcher's job. And and he wanted to find out from him, from Dharmavyadha, how did this thing happen to you, to this state? So Dharmavyadha's reply at that point is very interesting. Dharmavyadha says to him like that, I am doing this work because this is our family tradition. Many, throughout generations, we have done this job all along. And this is Krishna's desire. This is Krishna's desire. Therefore, what it is Krishna says, he says here, Dharmavyadha says here, that this is Krishna's desire that I have been put into this situation. And my father, grandfather, they all did this. I am also doing the same thing. But I don't have any attachment to this. I am neither the doer nor the enjoyer. I do it as my duty. And I am just executing it because I have come and born here in this body and it is a part of my karma. In this consciousness, when one is working, whatever karma he is doing is not anymore karma. That means this jnanam is very strong inside in Dharmavyadha. Once the jnanam is very strong inside, whatever he does, it will not be affected. Even though the work is so abominable, it doesn't matter. You see, karma is not the problem. The vasana that the karma creates is the problem. Any karma, we call some karma is good karma, some karma is bad karma. Isn't it? Devotees always are very particular about this. We'll say, oh, you're working in Sainsbury's, Prabhu? It is not a good situation, you know. You have to handle the meat. You have to handle. Whereas you work in the temple, you don't have to handle anything. You are perfectly in the spiritual platform 24 hours. It is not so. That's a false understanding. You will one day find the man in the Sainsbury's will get self-realized. The man in the temple will be doing his service with the salary as he's done whole life. This is what will happen at the end. Why? Misunderstood. Everything misunderstood. Dharmavyada's story is teaching us that. That this bogus understanding that karmam is not the problem. The vasana that karmam creates is the problem. Where if that vasana create, whether it is in the Sainsbury, whether it is a temple, doesn't matter. If you are attached to the karmam, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, it will create the vasana inside. Dharmavyada's position is that he is not affected. He is doing it. But he has no interest or attachment or vasana coming from that karma. Why? As he said, I am doing this because this is my traditional livelihood. We have lived like this and I am doing this. Every morning I am doing this, chopping the meat and selling it. That's part of the work I am doing. It. It's not touching me. That clarity, or in other words, that knowledge inside is saving him, giving this. That is why Krishna brought him in the Bhagavatam as the best example. That even if doing such an abominable job, if he can be self-realized, what to talk about anyone who is seriously pursuing spiritual path? That's the point Krishna is making. Where is the question that one day will he not realize the self? That's the point. Krishna's point is that. So, in order to show that salsangam and the knowledge of the soul is more important than what activity you are doing, we have to come out of this misunderstanding that everything what's happening in the soul in the temple only is perfect. Everything outside is all false and bogus. That is not so. That is not true. Anywhere, everywhere in the world, somewhere a jnani can come up with a self-realized soul, can come about. There's no question about that. And Amrutanandamayi, who is so famous now among the spiritual leaders, she comes from the fisherman's family. Fisherman's family means one of the most lowest in the... They eat fish and they sell fish. And as you get closer to them, they smell fish. That's how it is. And she is a self-realized soul. Great, great devotees who have studied Srimad Bhagavatam, absorbed everything, they go and pay obeisance to her now. This is happening right now in this world today. You go to her ashram, you will see she's traveling all around the world. She is realized a soul. And great, great devotees who have understood Srimad Bhagavatam, studied whole life Bhagavatam, born in the most cultured Brahmana families, who have lived according to the tradition, they go and see her and pay their obeisances to her. Ascharya vel pashari kaschidenam. Is there anything more wonderful than that? And she, right from the early age, she had no training, she had no studied shastrams, but Purva Vasana from previous life has followed her. So by the age of 10 and 12, she started getting absorbed in the soul too much. And in that process, the realizations came. Much advanced state she is. Now she is inspiring everyone, thousands of people all over the world in spiritual life, and talks about the soul. And imagine that situation happening from coming from such background and coming to this levels of spiritual realization. Ascharya vel pashari kaschidenam. This is what Krishna is talking about. Nobody can say where the soul will pop up. Nobody has any control over this. You may have studied all the shastram, you may have done all the sadhanas, and you may have done all the deity worship. You may have chanted 128 rounds a day. Still, there is no guarantee that you will be self-realized at the end. Ascharya vel pashari kaschidenam. This is what Krishna is talking about here. Then we have so many examples. Krishna is talking. Dharmavyada is one example like this. That even though he was selling meat, he was chopping the meat and he was a butcher, he was self-realized to everybody's surprise. In the very gully in Banaras, in a street, you find a self-realized soul coming out from there. Whereas big famous temple of Lord Visheshwara there big Vedantis are sitting there and arguing about the Vedas. They are not able to find the truth. A Dharmavyada, a simple butcher in the street, he got the self-realized much before than where they got realized. Is that not a wonder? Krishna is asking. There was this example in Mumbai, Nisargadatta Maharaj. If you Google, you will see him, his name mentioned there. And there's so many things written about him. He was an ordinary person. He used to make BDs. You know, BDs. Yeah. What they smoke, the BDs. And this person had had a deal. And naturally, he comes from a very poor family, so therefore that he had to do this as his profession. But somehow or the other, he came into contact with a great soul, Mahatma. And Mahatma gave him, out of compassion, some good instructions to him. Whatever instructions were given to him, he took it seriously. He took it very seriously, reflected on it, and got realized from that. Understood the soul, what it is. And after that, whatever activities he has done after that was not an issue at all. Why? People started coming to him. And one day, an American journalist, this happened over about, perhaps about, say about 60, 70 years ago, American journalist came there. He came to India looking for some great sannyasi or yogi. He was traveling all around the country. And then he heard about him, and he could not find anyone who could satisfy his spiritual queries. So eventually, he walks around the street and comes to know about this Nisargadatta Maharaj. That is his name. So he's saying people are coming to see him in his bidi shop where he was making bidis. And he was doing still that after self-realization. And he was discussing the highest Vedanta philosophy with people who were visiting him about the soul. He was talking to them. And then he says there, I was looking for a self-realized soul in all the temples, ashrams, and all kinds of places. I didn't find anywhere. Nobody was talking about the soul in any of these places. Those places were all empty. There was no one discussing about the soul. Here I find in one of the gullies in Mumbai, in a very narrow street where it was people will be hesitant to go, there this person is sitting there and talking about the soul in a wonderful way. Ascharya vel pashyati kaschidenam. So soul is not something which you don't know. You can't impose any of your rules and regulations to the soul. It can happen anywhere. The only thing what Krishna is pointing out is this, that it is like this, but one who endeavors in that direction, one day he will come to realize the truth. One day it will happen to him. So, that... So people ask this Maharaj, Nisargadatta, how did this happen to you? He says, my spiritual master, Guru, has told me certain things. I've totally accepted that. In other words, that transmission from the Guru to the disciple was perfect. That absolute faith in the Guru's words. And Guru, a self-realized soul. When this happens, these things can happen. And how much we accept what the Guru has instructed, that is also a factor in this. Alone, I sat there and thought about this, what he has told me, who am I? I analyzed this issue. He says, I kept on observing myself, who am I, this question. And eventually I came to this understanding that I started experiencing that blissful nature of the soul. And Morris Friedman, that was his name, if you want to Google, can see. Morris Friedman, who wrote that book about him. And he was very attached to this particular Maharaj, Nisargadatta Maharaj, he was called, seeing his exposition on the soul, how he spoke about the soul. So, Upanishad Rishis are also saying to us the same thing, that that Morris Friedman says, here is one sage talking about the soul in a shop where they are selling, making bidis, he says. There the discussion is going on about the soul. I have wandered around the whole country, he says. I didn't find in any of the holy places this discussion what's going on in this shop. Nor did I find it in the Himalayas, he says. I didn't find it in any temples either. And here in a slum area, this whole soul is being discussed very seriously. And he says here, truth is a very shy creature. The truth is a very shy creature. where do we look for the truth? In the ashrams, in the temples and places like that, isn't it? Wherever you search, you won't find it there. That nobody give note, where nobody gives any attention, you will find him there. He will appear there. Ascharyam, that is what Krishna is saying here. That later on, he published a book at that point. This was about 67 years ago. It's called I Am That. This was after he met this Nisargadatta, say, Maharaj. And then he wrote this book, Ayamdatta, and it was sold like anything at that time, that book. I don't know whether it's available now, but it was there at that time. From most unexpected place and most unexpected person, this can happen. From the most unexpected place and from the most unexpected person, self-realization can happen. In fact, if you look at Srimad Bhagavatam also, it is the same thing what you are finding there. Ascharyavel, Kashyadi, Ascharyam. Whole Bhagavatam is an Ascharyam if you look at it in that way. Take for example Prahlada. Best example. Born in the family of demons. Father, the greatest demon you can think of. Prahlada's father, isn't it? And not only that, a small child he is. He's not even a grown-up. He's a small child. So Narada Maharshi made some research before he looking for someone to instruct on the spiritual life. He did some research. And after experiencing, he thought that the best people will be to instruct will be the older people, he thought first. No, it was Narada Maharshi's thought first. He said, older people, because they have experienced everything in their life, they may have finished all their desires. So if I instruct them about spiritual life, they will take to it seriously. But Narada Maharshi noticed that they are not giving any attention when he spoke to them. They are not giving any attention. Why? Vruddhasthaval chindasaktaha. Old age means simply sits and think and think and think. Endless thinking. That is old age, isn't it? Old age means unable to give up thinking. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? All the time absorbed in the thoughts. So this is basically in old age. Balasthaval kridasakta. When you are a child, you are absorbed in the playing. That's the greatest attraction. Tarunasthaval taruni saktaha. That means when you are youth, you are attracted to the opposite sex. Similarly, vriddhasthaval chindasaktaha. Old age, you are not attracted to any of these things. Chinda, always thinking, thinking, thinking about future. Pare brahmani kovina saktaha. Nobody thinks about the soul at any time. So this is the thing. So Narada Maharshi understood that there's no point in talking to the old people. They are always thinking about something very seriously. So let me get hold of some young people, he thought. Let me get hold of some young people. So young people are full of energy. They can do things, isn't it? So he caught hold of some young people and he spoke to them about spiritual life. But the young people were cleverer than Narada Maharshi. What they understood was, well, there is some money to be made here. These young people's mentality. They said their ambitions were such that how can we make money out of this? Whatever knowledge what Narada Maharshi has given them, they thought of making money out of it. Business. How can we do some business? How can we develop some industry out of this? Narada Maharshi says there also it was a failure with the youth. Also it was not working. It was then that he thought, let me get hold of some young boy. And that is how he found Dhruvamaharaj. Dhruvamaharaj was 5 years old, isn't it? So he goes to Dhruva and speaks to Dhruva about this. Narada Maharshi asked him, who are you, where are you going, and all these kinds. So now he says, answers him what happened to him at home with his mother, Suniti and Suriji, all the problems he had with Uttanabada, all that problems you know, what happens with Dhruvamaharaj's case. And he says to Narada Maharshi, I'm going to perform some penances. And Narada Maharshi says there, Saktanya Kridanadishu, that at this age you should not be doing all these things. You should be playing, because that's the age for you to enjoy life and play as much as you like. But what does Dhruvamaharaj say to him? When Narada Maharshi told him that keep away all these things and go and enjoy life, Dhruvamaharaj says to him, I understand all what you are saying, but remember that I am a Kshatriya. Once a hate develops inside, it is very difficult for me to take it away from inside. And now I have determined in my mind that I am going to perform these austerities and I will get what I want. And with this, he spoke to Narada Maharshi. Narada Maharshi was not happy about this, the Dhruva Maharaj's attitude towards that. So he gave him the instruction how to perform the penances, the mantra to chant, the place to perform penances, and Madhuvanam. He was sent to Madhuvanam like that, isn't it? Narada Maharshi at that point thought, even this little boy is not ready for spiritual life. Because his mood was, somehow or the other, he wanted to retaliate to King Uttanapada and to his stepmother Suriji, to how he was willing to react to that. So it was then that Narada Maharshi decided that anyone who touches this earth planet, immediately there is danger. He cannot give him instructions on spiritual life. So at least let me find someone before he comes out from the womb. And that is how he found Prahlada. And he decided to instruct Prahlada on spiritual life. And he started his instructions to Prahlada. All right, he is coming from the demoniac family. He is not coming from a family of the sages. He is not from a sages family. And father Hiranyakashipu, who is the greatest enemy of Vishnu. And the mother is Kayadu. And he is lying in Kayadu. And he found out the soul inside. He held Kayadu and told Kayadu to stay in his ashram, Narada Maharshi's ashram. And all the knowledge Narada Maharshi had, through Chit Shakti, he transmitted to Kayadu, the whole thing to Kayadu. And Kayadu was instructed. Kayadu was told, mind is body is different, the soul is different. And all the, if you look into Bhagavatam, you will find these verses where Narada Maharshi's instructions to Kayadhu, what all he spoke, this was 7 or 8 verses there. And there he said to him that body is meant for transformation, that it takes birth, grows for some time, has byproducts, and then it starts eventually decaying and death. All the changes, what happens to the body. Similarly, the 3 states of existence, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, they are all for the jiva, conditioned soul. And in the Jagrat state, the body is there, the mind is there, I am there. In the dream state, body is not there, mind is there, I am there. In the deep sleep, body is not there, mind is not there, I am there. And I am not this body, I am not this mind, pure consciousness, that's what I am. All these things were instructed to Kayadhu. And if you look into Bhagavadam, you will see there, Buddhe Jagaranam Swapna Sushupti Ridivrataye. Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti, all these things are related to the intelligence. It has nothing to do with the soul. Atma or soul is never affected. And Kayadhu heard everything, but nothing affected Kayadhu. Nothing affected Kayadhu. But someone who was sitting in Kayadhu's inside, Prahlada heard everything, and it all worked for Kayadhu, Prahlada. So Prahlada, that is how the name itself came about, Prahlada. Prahlada means Prakrashena Hlada. Hlada means one who is realized by nature, self-realized. That is the word means. Prahlada means one who is self-realized by nature itself. So when Prahlada came out, he was full of bliss. Already he was in a blissful state. So Dhruva's, if you hear about Dhruva's penances and austerities, it's frightening. Because why Dhruva performed this? Because he has material desire in him. Little material desire was still there in him. Therefore, he had to struggle. And after performing that penances, after seeing Krishna, when he is going home, he is crying. Dhruva Maharaj is crying. If you read the Bhagavatam, you will see why he realized the foolishness, what he has done. What is that foolishness? That I performed all these things instead of asking for release from the cycle of birth and death. Oh, time has gone 6 minutes. Instead of going away from the cycle of birth and death, and I had to go now home crying like this. And ultimately, Swayambhuva Manu came and instructed him. And that is how Dhruva Maharaj got released from this distress. So what I'm saying is that where self-realized soul will appear, difficult to say. Who will get realized? Mm-hmm. Prahlada is the best example. Demoniac family, demoniac parentage, in spite of that, he got escaped from this. But nobody else. We'll discuss that verse again tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.